football on off the ball.
Trying to run forward and give us that energy. I think probably the penalty, I probably should do better. I probably should get the shot off a little bit earlier, in my opinion. Probably lacking that little bit of sharpness, just for whatever reason. I think I'll get stronger as the season goes on. But
join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Xavi Simons is ruled out of the rest of Tottenham's season and will miss the World Cup. Just 4 days after sacking Leimer Sr., Chelsea booked their place in the FA Cup final and Hearts take a step closer to the Scottish Premiership title as Rangers are beaten at home to Motherwell. But first up, Tottenham and Netherlands midfielder Xavi Simons has confirmed he'll miss the rest of this season as well as this summer's World Cup due to a torn anterior cruciate ligament in his right knee. The 22-year-old was taken off on a stretcher after appearing to jar his knee in the second half of Tottenham's 1-0 win away to Wolves on Saturday. It was their first Premier League win since the 28th of December, but it wasn't enough to lift them out of the bottom three. Simons is the fourth Spurs player to suffer an ACL injury in the last two seasons. James Maddison sustained the injury during pre-season in August. Wilson Odobert tore his ACL in February of this year, while Radu Dragicin ruptured the ligament in February of last year. Chelsea interim boss Callum McFarlane will lead the club to their 17th FA Cup final next month and insist they can beat Manchester City. The 1-0 win over Leeds confirmed a Wembley return, and the man who's replaced Leimer Sr. believes they can lift the trophy.
Yeah, of course. They're a great side. He's a great manager. They're probably the form team in the league. There's a lot that they can do to hurt you, but we wouldn't be going into the game thinking we're not going to win. We're going to be confident, we're going to attack the game and hopefully put in that sort of performance again.
Leeds boss Daniel Farke admits the occasion got to his players and partly explains their defeat to Chelsea. Enzo Fernandez scored the winner early in the first half. It's wrecked Leeds' hopes of winning the competition for the first time since 1972.
Yeah, they were a bit too nervous in order to be at their very best level. It was not the case that we were played out of the park. It was the other way around. We had the first big chance, but players like Neto, like Enzo, like João Pedro, of course, they can find the back of the net and work clinical.
Michael Carrick says he's focused on delivering a successful end to the season for Manchester United, even if his own future at the club remains unclear. United are third in the Premier League ahead of tonight's home game against Brentford. United are yet to confirm who their manager for next season will be. Carrick's current agreement will end next month, and he says he's only thinking about things he can control.
You can only be positive and look to what's achievable. That's how I am. I think there's all sorts of negatives or setbacks or what might or what ifs in the world anyway. I think I like to live my life in a positive way in what can be achieved every day.
Brentford have already beaten United this season and can boost their own chances of European qualification with the win. If they do get all 3 points at Old Trafford, they'd move up to sixth place, but they need to end their run of five draws to move up the table. Manager Keith Andrews isn't worried about recent stalemates.
In the main, they're closer to victories than losses. I think we're pretty honest with our appraisal of our performances as a group. I think that the players that discuss it brilliantly amongst themselves in terms of how we can fine-tune certain parts of our game.
It was party time in Coventry yesterday as the runaway championship winners were given their trophy after beating Wrexham 3-1. The promoted side are now 12 points clear at the top with 92 points. Manager Frank Lampard was pleased they could celebrate in front of their own fans.
These challenging games they've dealt with in the right way, and you know they had their little party after the game against Portsmouth. They recovered and they came again today and did what they did, so I'm delighted for them. We got one more to go, but it was a special way to finish here at home.
Hearts boss Derek McInnes is predicting an epic match with Rangers next Monday night as the battle for the Scottish Premiership title intensifies with 4 games to go. The leaders' dramatic 2-1 win away to 9-man Hibs followed Rangers losing 3-2 at home to Motherwell. McInnes says they're in a great position.
We've come through that and it sets us up for a home game. We're unbeaten at home. Got a brilliant game because obviously Rangers are fighting for the title and they'll be coming full of effort and full of commitment to try and make it go their way. But I've just said to the players it's important that we stay focused, stay calm and deal with the next one. And the next one's big enough.
McInnes also says having their destiny in their own hands with 4 games to go is very important.
We've been top of the league for about 210 days, I think it is, given a few hours. For us to stay there, we're going to have to keep producing results and keep working. Nobody's going to give us it, and don't get into that mindset, or they might do that, they might drop points here. It's all on us.
Rangers boss Danny Rowell insists they can still win the title despite that crushing 3-2 loss by Motherwell at Ibrox. Rangers came from 2-0 then but then conceded late on. Rowell says there's still plenty to play for.
We can be disappointed, but my job, and we will do this, we lift them again, I give them the belief. And yeah, it's not over, and this is the part in this split. You have to carry on. It makes no sense to think it's over.
Arsenal boss Renee Slager says the mentality of her players was impressive after they came from behind to beat Lyon 2-1 at the Emirates in the first leg of their Women's Champions League semi-final. The holders will be away for the second leg next Saturday, and Slager says she's not too concerned. They've got a key WSL game coming up midweek.
If you look at the schedule that we have, it's 2-3 days in between games, which has been our schedule for a long time. We're used to it. We thrive of it. We want to embrace it. So I think we're used to that rhythm, and not always being able to do things tactically on the pitch doesn't mean you're not ready and prepared. You can do it different ways.
The other semi-final between Bayern Munich and Barcelona finished 1-1 over the weekend. Meanwhile, Owen Doyle and Tim Clancy joined John Duggan on Football Saturday this week, and with Ireland actively trying to attract players via the granny rule, and the feeling of where you feel you are from was brought up.
Should we really be pushing this granny rule again, do you think? I suppose the players have to want to. They have to want to play.
That's the other side of it as well. Like, I do, like, I think you have to. We have to explore it, like, to get as many players as we can, but it can't be like that they've no affiliation to their Irishness at all. Like, I do think there has to be some aspect of they were reared with.
Or second generation.
Where any other country in the world, like, it can be Irish American, Irish anything else, we just don't like Irish English. It doesn't sit right with us. Like, and there is a lot of people out there that are like English Irish as well. Like, and they have that sort of upbringing. But it can't be just the fact that, like, you find a grandparent that you didn't know about and then come over and just for progressing your career or playing international football. Like,
yeah, but I mean, this English Irish, as we, you know, Gary Breen, David Connolly, Kevin Kilbane, who are like, you see themselves as Irish, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, my nephews and niece are like, would see themselves as half Irish, half English. So, so it is an interesting one, but I mean, it can do us no harm.
Well, me and Tim would have been part of the diaspora for a while when we were living away or whatever. But like, when you leave Ireland, you feel more Irish, you know, and you push that on your kids a little bit as well. Mm. You know, to be always, any time we came home, it'd be like, and we're back in England or Scotland or whatever. It's, when is the next time? Can we book the next time? Yeah. And it's all involved around Ireland, you know. I think us as Irish people as well. As Irish people, like, we're very proud of it, you know, and that. The diaspora do bring that with them, you know, and they're passing that down to their kids and their grandkids. Like, I'd be very doubtful that any of these lads that do put on the green jersey that have been asked to do it wouldn't have some sort of, like, warm affiliation with the country, you know, and that when they do come and play with us and commit, that they will actually fully commit.
I think when most of them do play for the first time, they love it anyway, so.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I know Stephen Reid spoke about it, that he got a lot closer to his Irish side of his family after playing for Ireland. It was probably something that they may have been lost upon him. He was always there in the background, but when he then played for Ireland, I think it was that he really sort of got closer to it and looked into it more and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just that there's so many, like.
Yeah, but the aspect's huge, yeah, but you still don't want to take away what we should be able to produce in the country as well. That's very important. Yeah.
And it can't be just used as this is an easy way out.
You're
trying to develop academies and
industry,
is, look, we'll talk about maybe after four, because the funding, I don't know if it's started kicked in yet, but I'm sure it'll take a while.
And if you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. And that's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB Football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.
Yes, Charlton, and there it goes! Bobby Charlton, wham-bang! And Bobby Charlton sticks in another goal to add to his record number of goals for Manchester United.
For 17 years, from 1957, he bewitched friend to the point of ecstasy and foe to the point of exasperation. Yet it should all have been nothing. On February the 6th, 1958, Bobby Charlton, at 21, survived an air crash which wiped away half his Manchester United playmates.
I was just lucky. I've always been lucky. It's, it's unbelievable, really, that something like that should happen and all your pals get killed and suddenly you're there with hardly a scratch on you. Sometimes I feel it doesn't seem right, you know. But they were lovely lads, all of them, and good players, and the memory of them will always be at Manchester United.
Bobby Charlton makes it 3-1, and a Bobby Charlton goal is always one of the most popular sights at Old Trafford, Manchester.
We want goals. Against Mexico, they got one. A beauty scored by Bobby Charlton.
Maybe a shot from Charlton. It's worth trying.
England making Portugal chase. And it's Hurst. Ivan running by Hurst back to Charlton. This could be it. It is. And that could be the goal of the England in the final. And here's the three-goal star, Jim Hurst. And Bobby Charlton weeping with emotion.
He was just a natural. Bobby was a fit guy. His control was great. He was quick. He'd a shot in both feet that he could score from 40 yards out, right? But that was it. Well, what more do you want?
United have got Benfica on the run now. Sadler, Charlton! Everybody wants to shout now. Well done, Bobby Charlton. Well done, Manchester United.
He's Wo Bob. He's always been Wo Bob. He's always been my younger brother. When we were kids and we used to go to the park and play, I would go home for dinner and he'd stay on all day. Bobby Charlton is the greatest player I've ever seen. He's my brother.
I'm really, really proud. I'm really proud of what I've done, and if I've passed on a few things, you know, that people will remember. I'd like to think that too.